Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And we're talking about, Faisal, how, you know, when people get emotional. We're talking about the fact that we're emotional beings.
Yes.
Really. And the vast majority of our processing, mental processing, you know, manifests itself through the emotion. And our actions are often driven then by a sense of self-preservation, right, for whatever that emotion is. So the question is, when we get into those situations where we're feeling emotional, as an example, if markets are falling, we often get asked the question, or people are calling in panic, that my whole retirement is doomed.
It's ruined.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've gone to that very dark place. How do you get out of that, right? How do you manage that? And can people like you and me on an external basis help facilitate a recovery out of that sort of panic mode into something that's calmer? Now, to help us, because you and I don't know the answer to that question, we're hoping Dr. Bryn does. Dr. Bryn Weingart, who's a business brain expert, a recurring guest on the show, is graciously agreed to stick around for a second segment. We know a bit about the problem now, Dr. Bryn, but let's see if we can start to address some of the solutions. So maybe you can frame it for us. I'm not sure if I did a very good job there of, you know, outlining what you told us in that first segment and where people end up in this sort of emotional turmoil. But give us a sense of how can we get ourselves out of this if we end up in an emotional place that's not very good, right? That's affecting us negatively.
Absolutely. No, I think you did a great job, Dave, in terms of describing the problem, right? In this David and Goliath fight between the subconscious emotional centers and the conscious logical, you know, tiny little centers that of the brain that are able to take in objective fact and make decisions, Goliath wins every time. There's a part of the brain that's going to overtake all decision making. You will end up in catastrophic thinking. You will end up very highly polarized, and it will feel uncomfortable. You'll be emotional about it. You know, when we look at the human brain's imperatives, one of the things we see is that it's fundamentally designed to amass capital. And historically, that meant social capital, but anymore, that also means financial capital. And we understand that financial capital is also time, right? Time and money are the two things. And so we start to see that, you know, people will have real emotional, visceral responses to anything they think threatens either their time or money. And money is a lot more tangible of those two things. And so then what we see is that, you know, let's pretend you're dealing with somebody who's in the throes of catastrophic thinking, you know, panic levels. Really, the first thing to do is to normalize it so that they don't feel as though you are, especially as an advisor, as an example, you are completely removed from it, as if you have no idea where they're coming from. So if what you can do is sort of use language to describe the fact that you do understand where they're coming from, that doesn't just allow for empathy and the activation of what we, you know, the mirror neuron system was just exactly as it sounds. It's the center that then allows them to gain liking and trust with you. But that also allows them then to normalize how they're feeling. So it sets a base level, whereas we say, you know, that person then doesn't feel so out of control. When they are able to do that, then we can, after we've set that baseline of normalization, we can socialize the idea. And so one of the things I talk about a lot is this idea that, you know, you should be activating the social parts of the brain, but that allows through the mirror neuron systems that you're also then seeing other perspectives. And so if you deal with people you like and potentially trust, they will give you different perspectives. So hopefully you like and trust your advisor, and it is the job of the advisor to be liked and trusted. And so what you're doing then is saying, listen, here is another perspective. Here's another way of looking at that. The way to approach it is almost never with data, facts, logic, right? Those aren't going to work because the Goliath is winning. The emotional centers have overridden everything else in that human brain. And so then the way that we do that is through very human means. So we describe it in social language and social appeals, using very, you know, earnest, honest, kind of just being a human in the environment sort of an approach that will then help them see different perspectives and activate parts of their brain that are the only parts of the brain that can override emotional reactions, things like the mirror neuron system. So that's the part of the brain that we really want to create, you know, a connection with. And the only way to do that is in person. And so one of the best ways too is to deal, you often hear that someone will call you in a panic and then you try to troubleshoot that over the phone. And the best thing to do is give yourself time and opportunity to actually see that person physically. And so, you know, the mirror neuron system, the only thing really that can overpower an emotional reaction is really most active. It really only works human to human in person. We say meeting face to face is seeing eye to eye, is the meeting of the minds, right? And so that's one way, certainly, as an advisor, that you can help somebody through what is a panic state.
So that was great in regards to helping us help our clients or help people. How does someone do it for themselves? How does someone actually go through this where they're having a visceral reaction? How do they actually, I'm going to use the words, calm themselves down,
sure.
bring them back to a more centered focus on what's important in their lives? I think there's a lot of people who have reactions but don't reach out and talk to anybody about it.
Right.
So how would we know as advisors or people in the public know about this stuff? I think it's where you're having these kind of reactions on yourself. How do you actually calm yourself down, or how do you get that? Those? What are the next steps to do that?
Yeah, it's such a great question. The first, I think, is forewarned is forearmed. The idea that, okay, I'm physically uncomfortable. I'm definitely having an emotion here. And my emotions are not bad. I don't need to push them down, bottle them up. They are functional. They're designed to help me act in my own self-interest. But my own self-interest in this moment is maybe not best informed by a panic state. And so what we often say is to get uncomfortable, or comfortable rather, with the uncomfortable. Sit with negative emotions for a while. In fact, most emotions are negative, unfortunately. Sit with them for a while so that you can get some perspective, so you can get a handle on them. If emotions are controlling you, they are likely not acting in your own best interest. However, they are informative. They inform us about what we think at the subconscious levels, at the part of the brain that is making decisions. It informs us what it is that is important to us, that will be in our own self-interest. Now, sitting with the discomfort for a while will also allow you time and space from those emotions, which allows you to do something we call the objectification of emotions. Objectifying emotions are really important and really helpful, because what it allows is that it's almost as if, and the way I sometimes envision this myself, is it's almost as if you're taking that discomfort of that uncomfortable thing, you're naming it something, and you're able then to pull it out of yourself and look at it more objectively. Now, that can happen through a series of medium and mechanisms. And one of my favorite isn't just sitting there ruminating on your own, but it's to talk about it. And so, no different than the talk therapies that are 100 years old, but the idea that you would activate your social brain, talk to somebody who's not necessarily even with a vested interest, maybe not your financial advisor, but somebody who you trust, who you know, who's going to help you give another perspective, but is also going to activate 80% of all neural networks, which are the social networks. And so that will help you feel less uncomfortable, feel more comfortable, name the emotions, and figure out what your next steps are in terms of how to actually conceptualize this, which then allows you to organize your thinking enough to ask the right questions of your advisor, right? You often have heard the adage that the quality of your life is directly proportional to the quality of the questions you ask. If you approach your advisor as an emotional investor without good questions, without properly arming yourself, then you've done yourself a disservice. And so you want to have that kind of distance and objectivity in order to be able then to approach with the right questions to get a handle on the fact that, yeah, you're threatened and probably legitimately feeling like you feel threatened. It's probably very legitimate. Now we need to ask the questions to help ourselves figure out a long-term plan for how we are going to act in our own self-interest functionally.
Dr. Brin, you were mentioned that we should be sitting in this emotion for a while to kind of just take a step back. How long is a while?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Every person is different. And one of my favorite things, too, is to say there is this mind-body disconnect, in the sense that whenever the brain is active is the only time that whenever the body is active, rather, is typically the only time the brain is really able to rest. And opposite is when you're sleeping, as an example, is when your brain really comes awake. People don't think that's counterintuitive. So I advocate for two things, and it's usually one sleep, but it's the old adage, the old ones are the best, right? Sleep on it. So sleep on it, because your brain will neuroplastically figure out what it needs to throughout those 8 hours that are going to help you with that objectivity. In real time, the best advice I have is to physically move. You know yourself, if you're physically feeling uncomfortable, it often helps to move. But I'm going to give you a neural basis for it, which is that the time that the brain actually has to rest and rewire and replenish some of its neurochemistry that's important for emotional regulation is during movement, physical movement. So I often, it doesn't have to be, HIIT, run a marathon. Just get up and start moving. And I say that has to be at least 15 minutes. Those 15 minutes will be critical, not only for replenishing the right neurochemistry to help you think clearly, decreasing your emotion, re-regulating sympathetic nervous activity, your physiology, et cetera, but it's also going to allow you just enough time to be able to sort of physically calm down, physiologically calm down enough to be able to think on it newly. So at least 15 minutes while moving, please sleep on it. But that's the idea, is that you're taking at least one sleep because that's when the magic of the brain happens, is during sleep, to try to regulate, you know, how it is that you're thinking, what those emotions really meant for you.
Yeah. So you see, Dave, whenever you talk to me, I get up, I run away for about 15 minutes, and I come back and just
just
calming myself down.
Calm down.
I'm going to have a conversation with Popowicz. I got to calm down. So this is a good idea.
See? You know, listen, if the goal is peace of mind, certainly that's what we talk about with
that's
people,
right?
If the goal is peace of mind, then I think Dr. Brin has given us, a really, really good insight as to why we might get out of that peaceful space.
Sure.
But two, that we can. We actually can control that to some extent. A bit of patience, a bit of discipline, right? A bit of structure in the way we do that. And we can calm ourselves, and you and I can help in that role.
That's right.
I think that's been a really powerful two segments, Dr. Brin. I want to thank you for sharing that with us and with our listeners and our viewers, because I think that's absolutely critical.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. We've been joined by Dr. Brin Weingard, and she's a business brain expert, but much more than that. I think that's some really practical steps that we can take advantage of to put together a lifestyle plan, right?
That peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about how do you get peace of mind in your retirement on Tuesday, November 16th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.